CBS, I Am the World, with Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor. We're going to the opinions of our European allies. Thanks to Colonel Richard Kemp, retired British officer, colonel, many years dealing with insurgencies and terrorism, which is what faces Israel right now. The terrorists are in the mullahs of Tehran, and their surrogates, their grasping surrogates, are in Lebanon, they're in Gaza, they're in Yemen, they're on the West Bank, all of them. Colonel, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. It's a delight to read your column in Times of London. Now I get to ask this direct question. We started with London. There is a pending an election. The Tories have Foreign Minister Cameron, and it's easy to see his position with regard to these Iranian threats. But I'm unclear what a change of government will need for support for Israel. Keir Starmer looks like a stand-up guy, but Labour's an unknown for 13 years. What is your opinion? Can Israel count on London under a Labour government for the road ahead? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and it's a real pleasure to join you both and your listeners tonight. I'm speaking from Israel. I've spent most of the last 6 months here in Israel, including going onto the ground in Gaza during the conflict. Spent a lot of time with politicians and IDF soldiers, etc. So I've got a pretty good feel now for the situation here. But as far as the UK is concerned, I think Britain has been very solid in its support for Israel so far. Although Lord Cameron has been, I think, unduly critical on occasions of Israel's actions inside Gaza, accusing them of maybe even possibly breaching humanitarian law and unduly restricting humanitarian aid, neither of which is true. Prime Minister Sunak, I think, has been quite a lot stronger. And I think Lord Cameron's wings have been clipped to an extent. So to the degree that he now, in particular, in face of this latest threat from Iran that we're all intent on, Britain has stood up strong with Israel on that. As far as the Labour Party is concerned, they have also been pretty strong. They've followed the government line pretty much closely on the situation in Israel. But I think what we should see in that is we should see electoral politics, because they, I think, have calculated that making a good, strong stance on Israel will benefit them in a forthcoming general election, which is probably going to be not much away from where your election is going to be in the US. And I think they have taken that line now. When they're in power, if they come into power, and the expectation is Labour will win the general election, I think a lot of the backbench MPs and some of the cabinet, shadow cabinet members who have been biting their lips to stick by Keir Starmer's strong line will stop doing so. And I think, you know, the Labour Party, in my view, it remains the party of Jeremy Corbyn. It's had some changes, but it's still, I think, quite heavily slanted against Israel. And so my expectation, if Labour wins power, is that Britain, under a Labour government, will become one of the strongest opponents of Israel in Europe.
Malcolm?
When you, as an expert, given your own military experience and your expertise, when you visit the areas around Gaza, when you see what's happening on the ground, what is your evaluation of the calls for a ceasefire coming from the British government, coming from others, even from President Biden, and the international pressure on Israel to avoid a ground offensive in Rafah? What is your military assessment of the impact of those two decisions?
Well, I think the only circumstance in which a ceasefire should be contemplated by Israel is, of course, if Hamas surrenders and lays down its weapons. That's very unlikely to happen. Secondly, if there is a deal which is currently being negotiated, not looking very optimistic, on potential surviving hostages, and there's a question mark over how many are still alive. Other than those two things, I don't think Israel should contemplate a ceasefire. Israel should reject calls for ceasefire by President Biden or Prime Minister Sunak or anybody else. Israel has to go into Rafah. It has to deal with Rafah. I think that's one of the war cabinet members over here said, if you don't go into Rafah, it's like putting out 80% of a fire in Gaza. And of course, that makes no sense. Hamas has lost strongholds in Rafah, and it's got to be dealt with. It's not going to be pretty, but it's got to be done. There's really no substitute for that. Meanwhile, the IDF withdrew, I think, a significant number of its troops from Gaza in the last few, but they seem now, at least I think in brigade strength, to have re-entered Gaza and are carrying out offensive operations in central Gaza. And of course, are continuing raiding where in the strip, as well as, I think, in the last day or so, some pretty significant raids into Rafah itself. But ultimately, I think Rafah will have to be by overwhelming military force. Gaza City and Khan Yunis have been dealt with.
To Europe, you know, Richard, that there is a big EU election coming up in June, and all the parties are negotiating with each other about, are we turning away from the world? Are we turning inward? I'm looking at Germany. There's also that same talk through many countries of Europe. When it comes to the Middle East, Europe has been hands-off, give them money, try not to think about it. Has this horror of these last 6 months changed any opinion, or as soon as Israel stands down, are they going to forget this ever happened? I mean, Europe.
Well, yeah, my inclination is to think the latter, that they want to keep out of it. They got, including the UK, they've got enormous Islamic populations, most of which are strongly opposed to Israel. It's a very toxic issue in Europe. And the European countries don't want to be seen to be too closely allied with Israel. And I think that will prevail. They've also got very, very close concerns inside Europe itself with the war going on in Ukraine, which diverts a lot of their attention. So I think they're going to try and go back to business as usual as best they can after this war eventually concludes. Although I do understand that France has come out in the last few hours, has come out strongly in support of Israel's need to defend itself against an attack from Iran, which I think is, if that's correct, I think that's a highly laudable and to an extent an unusual position from France. So in effect, it's aligning itself more with the US and British positions on Israel's being entitled, and we all know Israel's more than entitled. It's duty-bound to defend itself from an attack against Iran, including by carrying out strikes inside Iran itself, shooting from there.
Malcolm?
The statement by the French prime minister that you just alluded to, surprising as it is, supporting Israel against an Iranian attack, what is your sense in England of the huge demonstrations that we've seen, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, and it's their political impact? Is this coming just from the domestic population? Do you see foreign interference in instigating these and the impact that it has on the broader electorate?
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. These protests every week in London and in other cities as well. And the major effect of them, I think, has been twofold. Firstly, on the on the Jewish communities in the UK, that I've spoken to a number of Jews in the short time I was in the UK recently, who are absolutely fearful of these protests. I don't think we've seen any, as far as I'm aware, any overt violent action, but we've seen a lot of intimidation. We've seen a lot of things like graffiti painted, and so it's very bad for the Jewish community. Things like school children can't leave school from Jewish schools, can't leave school wearing their school uniform, things like that, which is absolutely shameful in 21st century Britain. But also it affects the political stance, and it explains why people like Lord Cameron and, to a lesser extent, Rishi Sunak have been critical of Israel's war in some respects, in my view, unfairly. Of course, we can criticize anything, but to suggest Israel is intentionally killing innocent civilians or not taking enough care to minimize the deaths of innocent civilians is completely wrong. But I think a bit like President Biden in the US, they both feel a need to talk to both sides of their electorate, which sounds understandable politically, but actually is very damaging, both in terms of inciting hatred against the Jews, but also in terms perhaps even more seriously in terms of strengthening Hamas and giving Hamas an encouragement to fight on, believing that the international community is closing on Israel and will try and force Israel to stop its offensive. As we've seen from the US, from the UK, from other European countries, we've seen pressure put on Israel to ceasefire, which is about Hamas's only hope of survival.
Colonel Richard Campy writes a column for the Times of London. I highly recommend Malcolm Honlein. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,